I want you to turn in your Bibles today to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. Today is Sunday, March the 12th, 2023. It's hard to believe that we are almost middle of the month of March. And just a few more days, and this month will be gone as well. But I want you to look at this lesson today. This lesson is entitled Messiah's Message, Ministry, and Miracles. These things were all foretold by the prophet Isaiah. God showed him these things to be able to present to the children of Israel some 700 plus years before it ever came to pass. And God wanted them to have hope. And God wanted them to see that he was still in control of things. Listen, the devil may make us try to think that boy, he's got the tiger by the tail. And the devil is just in control of everything. He is not in control. He is on a little leash. He's on a short leash, let me tell you. And he's getting ready to be yanked back. Amen. And I want you to understand that God is still in control. Our theme verse here today is found in Isaiah chapter 42. We're going to be looking at that chapter also. But it said this. It said, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." There's coming a day, folks, when the things that we're experiencing in this world are going to be a past event. There's a day coming when the Lord's going to take control of things and he's going to finalize everything. But I want to ask you this question today. While we're looking at all the things around us, and we're seeing these things happen, and the devil's trying to get us angry at everything around us and get us all upset about things, I want you to understand something. God chose to love us and to send his son into this world. And my question to you today would simply be this. Am I displaying the compassion that Christ had for me in my life toward anybody else around me today? Are we displaying that compassion today that Christ had for us? Listen to me today. Were it not for the grace of God, you and I could be lost, condemned, and in hell today. Were it not for his wonderful grace. But thank God that he loved me. I want you to see some things today from this lesson. We're going to be jumping around different places in Isaiah. And I want you to see this today. But when God had Isaiah to proclaim his Messiah was coming, when God said, "Isaiah, I want you to give our people hope," God had a desire for his chosen people, the Jews. He had a job for them. And he wanted them to understand that he still loved them and he still had the power to redeem them if only they would put their faith and trust in him. I think as we practice in the play that we're going to be doing here in just a few weeks, as we prepare for this thing and we see how the Jewish people, so many, the religious leaders of that day, rejected Christ. They hated him. They hated all that he stood for. And they said, "Crucify him. Let his blood be on us and on our children." They did not realize how much God cared for them. And as Christ was upon that cross and he looked down upon them, he looked up to his Father and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Satan had their eyes blinded. He had them blinded. And you know what? You and I were in no different situation, were we? You and I were blinded as well by sin. Satan had us blinded. And when God sent Isaiah out to announce the coming of Messiah, God had already determined in his heart that his coming would be different from the way that the Jewish people were expecting him to come. The Jewish people were expecting him to come in and do away with all the prejudice and everything that was going on around them, to make everything right in the government and all these things. And I know there are a lot of people today praying, "Lord, we need you to come back so all this mess that's happening in our political world be taken care of." But listen to me, the Messiah came for one purpose. And that purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know what? I'm so glad that one day I realized that I was lost. You know what? You can't be saved until you know you're lost. And you know, when we go out and we try to win people to Christ, the very first thing we try to teach them is that we are all sinners. And folks today don't understand that. They only think that, well, you're a sinner if you kill somebody or if you murder this group or you blow up a building or you do something really bad and things like that. Listen, what was it that brought sin into this world? In the day in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell to sin, what caused them to fall? It was simple disobedience. Simple disobedience. And folks, how many times have you and I disobeyed the Word of God in our lives? Well, how many times have we disobeyed and disregarded the sweet yearning of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives? When He tells us, you know, listen, you need to do this, or you need to be doing that, or you need to talk to this person, or you need to write a note to that person, or whatever. And we disobey it simply because it's not convenient to us. Listen to me today. God wanted His people to know that His Messiah was going to come into this world in a different manner. Not as the great big warrior that's going to just wipe out everybody all at one shot. Because that was not God's desire. God's desire was that all come to repentance. And let me say something just a minute. That's why Jesus has not yet come back to take us home. Because He's not willing for anybody to perish, but that all should come to repentance. The ones that are wicked and cruel, the ones you see on the TVs that do wicked things. Listen, I saw a thing the other day at they were advertising, telling about this thing in the Epoch Times. I got an email, and it showed how that at the Grammy Awards, I don't watch that garbage, but at the Grammy Awards, they had been planning this thing for some 6 months or more, and they had a singing group. I don't even know what the name of the group was. And it was talking about inhale. Inhale. And they had a person imitating the Satan, and all red lights and all just kind of wicked stuff, flames and just wicked stuff. And they were applauded for all of these things. Applauded for it all. And I thought to myself, you know what? Were it not for the grace of God, that could be me. That could be me today. Because I was blinded by Satan. But thank God for the light of the glorious gospel that shined upon my heart one day. Amen. Thank God for that Sunday school bus that came by and picked me up and brought me to church. And thank God for a man of God that stood behind the pulpit and preached the Word of God and showed me my need of a Savior. Man, I thank Him for that. And listen, today we need to understand, while living on this earth, this Messiah had a purpose. God had a plan. And Messiah came. Jesus came. He would speak the message that God wanted all men everywhere to hear. And that message was that God loved them and wanted them to be saved. Now, folks, I want us to look at this today. When Christ Jesus came into this world, He validated His mission by great miracles upon this earth. Now, I know there are fakers and false prophets all over TV land today that are doing this garbage about miracles and all this stuff, and you send me some money and I'll send you some miracle water and all this other stuff. Every time I preach a funeral at the funeral home, they've got up there, they got a box of sand and they got a bottle of holy water. And I'll edit this out, but sometimes I just like to take that water and put it in the sand and just make it hard, you know, and they can't use it or anything like that, because that's foolishness. That's foolishness. You can't sprinkle water on somebody, expect them to know they're going to heaven through the sprinkling of some water. Listen, if all that was what it took to get to heaven, there'd been no reason for Jesus to die upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus came for a purpose. And his name would be called Wonderful. We studied this the other week. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. And boy, he would be known by a name that's above all other names. And I want you to understand today, when God sent his son into this world, he sent him for a purpose. And I want us to see that today. I want us to see and understand Messiah's message. It's not about you being the richest person in the world. Listen, you can be the richest person in the world and still die and go to hell. We read about that in Luke chapter 16. Listen, you can have the nicest clothes and have the biggest, best feast at your house morning, noon, and night. But without Christ, you'll go to hell with a full stomach, a full wallet, and a nice set of clothes. And it won't do you any good. It won't do you any good. Messiah's message. I want us to look at this today. It was delivered to sinful men. And it was delivered so that sinful men might see their need of a Savior. Isaiah prophesied these things. John wrote about it in John chapter 1. Listen, if you get a chance this week, look at John chapter 1. I'm just going to read this to you in just a moment. Then John chapter 1, verse 4, John said this. He said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And in John chapter 1, verse 10, he went on to say this. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But," I love this part, "but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but they were born of God." Amen? They had that spiritual birth. And listen to what verse 14 says. The Bible said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And John wrote, and he said, "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That was what Messiah came to do. Amen? He came to be light in a dark world of sin. And I want you to listen to the message today. The message of deliverance. Look at this. In Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and the first part of verse 2, Isaiah wrote some interesting words here. I want you to look at it with me. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, Isaiah is prophesying the message that the Messiah that has been promised to come, he is prophesying what the message is going to be. You say, well, did the Messiah that came fulfill that prophecy? Turn with me to the book of Luke just a moment. Luke chapter 4, the New Testament. Luke chapter number 4. And I want you to see here where Luke described the very fulfillment of Messiah's message. And look what he said in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day." Isn't that interesting? That Jesus saw it necessary to be in the house of God when he was supposed to be there. Amen? How much more does that mean that you and I need to be there today? If the Son of God saw the need to be there, you and I need to be here too. Amen? Now look what he did when he went. "And he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day, right here, in front of your eyes, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son? Is this not Joseph's son?" They only saw him as Joseph's son. They didn't see him yet as the Son of God. But listen to me. This was the Messiah. He had come to fulfill the scriptures. He had come to do what no other man could do. Now go down to verse 28 in that same chapter. Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 28. And I want you to look here with me how the Messiah's message was received by the people. The Bible says here, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with" what? Wrath. They were mad. They were upset. "And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." They were ready to kill Christ right there. They were ready to kill him right there. Look what the Bible said. "He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." I want you to understand, that day, Jesus fulfilled the messianic passage about him from Isaiah. The message was, listen, "I've come to preach good tidings." Good tidings of great joy. Is that not what the angel said unto the shepherds that day? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It was good tidings that day. Messiah had come. And he had come, look at the first part of verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Listen, folks, today is the day of salvation. Folks say, "Well, one day I'm going to get saved." I never will forget Brother Stainer in the soul winning videos that he does. He talks about how that when the preacher came to his house and asked him if he could show him how he could be saved, he was just 18 years of age. And the thought went through his mind, "Well, I'm just going to wait till I'm about 70 years old. And then I'll get saved. You know, I'll get saved then. I got a life to live now." That's what went through his mind. Thank God he didn't do that, because he died at the age of 58. Suddenly, like that. Man, I'm reminded today is the day of salvation. The wait was over and God had done now what he had promised to do. But what would the people choose to do with Jesus? Look at verse number 2, the second part of verse 2. We see the message of judgment. The message of judgment. Isaiah declared here how the Messiah had come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance of our God. Now you see in the first part of this verse, he came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He would speak the truth of his work at his first coming. But now, beginning here in the second part of this verse, he talks about the events that would take place at his second coming. Listen, Jesus came the first time as the Lamb of God. When he comes back again, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And buddy, he's not coming to die again. He's not coming to be mocked and railed upon and blasphemed and made fun of again. He's coming this time as the holy and righteous judge. And he's going to send judgment upon this earth. Turn with me over to the book of Revelation just a moment. Revelation chapter number 19. Last book in your Bible. Last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter number 19. The Bible said here in verse 11. 19:11. And I saw heaven open, John writes. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Didn't John just write in John chapter 1, the Word was with God, the Word was God? The beginning was the Word. Here he is again. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white linen, white and clean. That's you and me. That's the church. And listen, we're coming back with him, okay, for a reason. Look what the Bible said. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At this great event, the world is going to be judged. Israel is going to be judged. The rebellious will be judged. The Gentile world that rejected Messiah, that made fun, mocked, and ridiculed him, used his name in vain, they're going to be judged. He's coming in vengeance. But look at this also. He didn't come just declaring a message of repentance, okay? He didn't come and just give one of judgment, but he came and he gave one of comfort. Look at verses 2, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 2 and 3. The Bible said this. He said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You know, I read that and I thought to myself, you know what the Bible said in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Folks, listen to me. Christ's second coming is going to be a time of great sorrow. It's going to be a time of great judgment upon this old wicked world. But for those who repent of their sin, for those who know him, they turn unto him as their Messiah, it's going to be a great day of comfort and joy. You know what? There are millions upon millions upon millions of people in this world that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. They've never heard it. The church is supposed to be getting that message to the world. But the church is sitting back having a party today. They're more interested in having a jam session in their church. They're more interested today in compromising the Word of God so that they can just draw a crowd and have their financial needs met. I met a woman in BJ's the other day, and she went to a local church down near Damascus. And she was talking about how that since COVID, their church had just died, and they didn't even have the money they needed to do things. She said, "How is your church doing?" She first thought I was going to a funeral. I was dressed in a suit. I was getting food for our soul winning dinner on Thursday. And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not going to a funeral, but I am an associate pastor, and I love to tell folks about Jesus." And I gave her an invitation to our upcoming play and was talking to her about the Lord. And she said, "Well, how are you all doing?" I said, "God has been blessing because We're still trying to tell folks how to get to heaven. And our pastor says if you tell folks how to get to heaven, then God will tell folks how to get to your church. Amen? Amen. And you know what? We just keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Folks have gotten so out of whack today, but God sent them aside to bring comfort and joy to those who did not know comfort and joy. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, "And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." Listen to me. In the days of judgment, God's going to seal 12,000 Jewish male virgins from every tribe, all 12 tribes. He's going to seal them for one purpose. And what is that purpose? It's to bring comfort. It's to bring the message of the Messiah to those who have never heard it. And millions upon millions will be saved during that tribulation time, that time of judgment upon this world. But it's those who have never heard. Folks, those who have heard the gospel and rejected it will be turned over. The Bible said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about how they'll be changed. Their minds will be so disrupted by the delusions of the devil. The Spirit of God will be out of here then, and they'll not have another chance to be saved. They've heard it, they've rejected it, and now judgment faces them. But for those who have never heard it, it's going to bring comfort, joy, repentance for sin. And folks, we need to look forward to that day for those people. Listen, we need to try to reach, as Brother Stanger had taught us, the least, the last, and the lost. Amen? Everybody we can. But not only does Isaiah foretell about Messiah's message of deliverance and of judgment and of comfort to come, but look at Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 7 now. Isaiah chapter 42. I told you we're going to be moving around a little bit. And you know what? When you get to reading all this, you'll understand. I'm just touching on the highlights. I don't have time to get into all of it. But you're going to see not only his message, but now you're going to see his ministry. And it's going to be characterized by several things. Number one, it's going to be characterized by justice. Justice. Now, I want you to understand something today. I'm glad that God gave mercy instead of justice to me. Amen. Amen. If I got justice, I'd be in hell today. But the Bible said here in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, God's Messiah is said, here Isaiah foretells, he said, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Judgment to the Gentiles. In Matthew chapter 12, and I don't have time to let you go back and look at that, but Matthew chapter 12, verse 18, Jesus declared the exact same thing that Isaiah just foretold about Messiah in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. And that phrase, "he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles," it literally means that Messiah is going to reveal truth. He's going to bring the truth before all eyes. He's going to bring forth justice to the Gentiles that's never been revealed to them before. You know what? There was no one that ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen? No one ever cared for me like Christ cared for me. Think of it, folks. Until Messiah rules this world, there will be no true justice, because evil will prevail. Evil will go on and it will just be all over this world. But when Christ fully reigns, there will be perfect justice and there will be perfect judgment. But look at verse number two. He's not only characterized by justice, but he's characterized by humility. Look what verse 2 said. "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets." I think about these politicians today that spend millions upon millions of dollars to lose an election. Boy, they've got ads on every TV commercial. They call my house all the time. And I just let my recorder pick it up. And I just hit delete, delete, delete. You know what? They spend millions advertising their message of deliverance from all the problems in our world. And all they do is get us deeper and deeper in debt. It'll never happen. But you know what? Jesus didn't come to do anything like that. Jesus didn't put out a big political campaign. I'm the King of the Jews. And put up signs, all these things. No. He came in humility. And he preached a message. In the book of Matthew chapter 3. I'm going back and forth. I know it's a lot of turning, but I want you to see, it's foretold in the Old Testament. It's fulfilled in the New Testament. And in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible said, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If you go over to the book of Matthew chapter 17, same book, just different chapter, chapter 17, you'll remember when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mount. And there he was transfigured before them. The Bible said, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him." They were talking about his crucifixion. And boy, when Peter and all the other disciples saw that, boy, they were amazed, and they didn't know what to say. So they thought, you know, being the good Baptists that they were, they're going to start a new building program right there. Bless their hearts. They didn't know. Listen. "Then answered Peter and said unto the Lord, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." Boy, we're going to put up a tabernacle here for Moses and Elijah and for you. And Lord, we're just going to make this a great spot. But that was not what God had planned for. Look what the rest of the verse says. "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." It was not Moses. It was not Elijah. It was Jesus that they needed to listen to. Amen? When you have God himself as your spokesman, who needs CNN? Amen? Who needs Fox News? Who needs ABC? Well, you got God. You've got his word right here. And this is what God has declared and said is going to come to pass. And Jesus came and he delivered that message unto all the world. Isaiah referred to him back here in chapter 42 as my servant whom I will uphold. God said, this is my servant. It's mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. The humble Christ, the prophesied Messiah. But then I want you to notice this. He's characterized by gentleness. Look at verse 3. "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." When he came to minister, he came to minister to those who the world did not care for. I often think about how that Jesus told John that he had come to declare the message to the poor, that they didn't hear it. Nobody cared for them. Nobody wanted them to know. Listen, a bruised reed here referred to those folks that had been mistreated and just cruelly despised by the religious world. You remember how the Pharisees saw the publican when he prayed? And the publican, man, he prayed and said, "God, I'm not even worthy to lift up mine eyes unto you. Just forgive me. I'm a sinner." The Pharisee lifted up himself and he said, boy, I'm not like that guy. I fast twice a week and I do this and I do that. And God looked down and he saw the Pharisee and the publican. And he said, that publican right there are getting to heaven before you ever do. Folks, listen, he came and he marked things by gentleness. He was not there to bruise the reeds. He was not there to hurt them. John 3:17 said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He had one purpose. That smoking flax here, that refers to those who were weak. They were small, they were thin, they were feeble. That which was ready to just be put out, okay? It's smoking. It's ready to be extinguished. And it literally talks about the wick of a lamp. And when the oil is almost consumed and when it shines with just a feeble or dying luster, and Jesus came in to be the friend of sinners, to be the friend of publicans, to be the friend of those who needed someone to care for their soul. Man, thank God that he treated them the way he did. Gentleness, loving gentleness. But look at this. He's characterized also by success. Look at verse 4. He shall not fail. I like that. Amen. Our God will never fail. Amen. What did Jesus tell Joshua? He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. The Bible said here in verse 4, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Listen, men in our world today count success as being he who has the most friends, he who has the most toys, he who has the biggest bank accounts, okay? He who has the most this and that. But God defines his Messiah to be a success because he's going to be victorious over all evil. He will not fail you. He will not discourage you. He won't get discouraged. He's not discouraged. He said, this is all in the plan. Just be patient and wait upon the Lord. He's going to take care of all those things. But then he's going to be characterized by universality. Now, I don't want you to think that means that everybody's going to come together under one religion. That's not what we're talking about. I want you to look at verse 5 and 6. Isaiah 42, verse 5 and 6. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and the spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. The Lord God said of him, he said, I am the Lord that called thee in righteousness. You know what? Again, God's will is that all should come to repentance, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And John 3:16 and 17 reminds us of that, does it not? He came for all the world, that whosoever believeth can have everlasting life. He didn't look to the rich. He didn't look to all these other things. Listen, you remember when we studied in Daniel chapter 2, verse 35, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Folks, that's what our Messiah has come to do, to fill the world with his gospel message. And listen, he's going to be characterized also by deliverance. Look at verse 7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sat in darkness out of the prison house. Aren't you glad that one day God turned the lights on for you? Amen. God said it so that you and I could be brought out of prison. I like Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God tells the people, he said, don't you ever forget that it was me. I brought you out of Egypt that I might bring you in. God brought us. He opened up our eyes. He opened up the blinded eyes. He brought out the prisoners that Satan had held captive, that one day he might bring us in to his presence and we can be with him. Oh, he was a message of deliverance. He was characterized by his deliverance. But I want you to look at this, his miracles. I want you to look at this real quick. I want you to know this Messiah's miracles here. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he looked at Jesus and he said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus came doing miracles, but he didn't do it to be put into some kind of a category like this prosperity miracle stuff today on the TV networks is all about. Listen, it was not for selfish gain. He came, he did these miracles to validate who he was. Nobody but God could do these things. And some of these Jewish rabbis recognize that. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That's why his name was Emmanuel, God with us. And you know what? John wrote in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, he said, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written." These miracles, these things that Christ did, they're written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now let me ask you today, is that why they do this stuff on TV today? Nah. They do that because it brings in millions of bucks for their pockets to be padded. They have no concern for lost souls. They have no concern as what Jesus had. The Bible said the Word was made flesh and he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His miracles, they were real. They were true. The preliminary fulfillment of these things were done at his first advent, when he first came. But the total fulfillment, the ultimate fulfillment, will be when he comes back again. Because you know what? Then there'll be no need for miracles. He'll be with us. We will see him as he is. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 18 said, "And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness." Listen, there's going to be a spiritual enlightenment. And one day when he is made King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all are going to know him for exactly who he is. The Messiah. The one that was promised. The anointed one. And I want to ask you today, are you showing that compassion that he showed to you? Are you showing his love and concern for those around you today? Folks need to know the gospel. And without you and me telling that message, sharing that message, just telling it as we go, how will they ever hear? You and I have got to take the message to the least, the last, and the lost. Let's start doing it today, all right? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you today, and I thank you for this message, for this lesson, Lord, that teaches us just how much you cared for our souls. Lord, we've seen the message, we've seen the ministry, we've seen the miracles. Lord, we long for the day in which you're going to fulfill all these things and come back once again. But Lord, until that day, help us, Father, to be found faithful, to do what you've saved us to do, and that being to reach everyone we can with the sound of the gospel. I pray, God, today, that if there be anyone that's lost, that's listening to the sound of my voice, God, that you'd help them to come to know you as their own personal Savior. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being with us. You pray for me. I'm going to go over and pick up Brother Joe Mann. Joe Mann is feeling better, and he's going to be at church today. So I'm going to go over and pick him up real quick, all right?